I want to consider the idea of being content or contentment this afternoon. You look in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 11. The writer Paul says there, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Learning the state we are in and our situation we are in is to always to be content is a trying task for us all each and every day. Being content is defined as not desiring more than one has, satisfied, resigned to your circumstances. Those are easy things for us to try to step out of and desire other things as well. If you look in the book of 1 Timothy, in chapter 6, beginning of verse 6, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Also in the book of Luke, in chapter 3 and verse 14. We'll begin in verse 13. "And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." So he admonishes them there to be content with their wages. As a soldier, there would have been things they could have done to gotten gains from someone in one way or another. Back in the book of Job in chapter 1, as we consider Job and the situation he was put in, there within a day he lost everything he had. He lost his children, he lost his camels, he lost all his sheep, lost all his servants. Then there in verse 21 of that first chapter of Job, he says, "For we're born, coming to this world naked, and shall I leave? I cannot take nothing with him, so I just will be content with what I have." And there's some things that get in the way of our contentment, and one of those is pride. If you look in the 1 John in chapter 2, beginning of verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So we say there that our pride, or pride, worldly pride, is not of the Heavenly Father. And also in the book of 1 Timothy in chapter 3. In verse 6, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil." So our pride can lead us into the condemnation of the devil. And let's look over in the book of Proverbs. There are several things in the book of Proverbs. A person takes enough time to look, but we'll just look at a couple. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." So we need to have a lowly mind and a humble mind. Also in chapter 13 of the book of Proverbs, and verse 10. only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. So pride can bring contention into our life. And there are several more verses that scriptures that we can look at about contention. And pride will bring that strife and that contention into our life. Now, also in chapter 16 of the book of Proverbs, in verse 18. "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit be before a fall." And this is one of those verses I always think of. I can't help to think of Elaine's professional athletes. And I know my son Ryan gets irritated at him. You know, they make one big play and they're all jumping up and hooping and putting on a show. Well, the next play may be the one that looked the dumbest out there on that play, but you sure see him jumping up and down and raising a ruckus then. So our pride can be a great downfall for us, and it makes when we fall, it makes that fall even harder. And we have some good biblical examples to consider when we consider pride. And one of those is Pharaoh. When Moses went to him, the pride that Pharaoh had is to not wanting to release the Israelites. As was mentioned this morning, one of our lessons this morning, Naaman, not wanting to go dipping in the River Jordan. He wanted to do some kind of great thing to be healed. He wanted something better than going to dip in the muddy, dirty Jordan River. But if you think, there's a couple of real good examples, and one of them was Haman. And how his pride, he was puffed up with being one of the elect, the next to the king, and he was irritated extremely by the reluctance of the Jew, Mordecai, not to bow to him or give him praise. He wanted that praise, even to the point that Haman built a gallows with the plans to hang Mordecai on that gallows. And when it was all said and done, Haman was brought low before everyone to see, and he's the one that hung on that gallows that he had built for Mordecai. If I remember right, it was something like, we figured, 75 feet tall. And then there's also Nebuchadnezzar and his pride, that all the Lord had blessed him with, all the kingdom, how wide it had spread, and how much under the world at that time was under his control and his kingdom. And he refused to give the true honor to the person, or the being that gave him and allowed him to do that. It was me and I that done this. And when it was all said and done, he was brought low and a kingdom was taken from him. But if you consider all those examples, in any of those situations, those four men that I mentioned, did any of them really have want of anything? Did they have really need of anything? They were all in very good situations. They had everything they really could have asked for. But they all wanted something more of one thing of one nature or not another. Let's also consider envy. And that sometimes can be a discontent of good fortune of another. If you look in the book of Proverbs, we're there, in chapter 14 and verse 30. A sound heart is life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones. So envy can be make you rotten to the core. James 5, chapter 4 and verse 5 tells us, does the spirit that dwelleth in us lust us to envy? So we have to be careful that our spirit doesn't desire that envy. If you look back in the book of Genesis and chapter 4, we're told the story of Cain. And we know the story of Cain, the first murder that ever occurred, and that was when Cain killed Abel. But what was the thing that Cain allowed to take him over? And that was the envy of his brother, that God showed favor to Abel because of the sacrifices that Abel had made. And it not only ultimately destroyed Cain, but it left his lineage in a standing that they would not be in the favor in the sight of God. Then let's look over in the book of Acts, and let's consider the Jews. Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, 44 and 45. And the next Sabbath came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes that were filled within, they were filled with envy, and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. We see the Jews there were envious of the attention that Paul had brought as coming to there there to preach God's word, that he was drawing almost out the whole city, him and Barnabas, to hear the word of God taught, that they were the Jews were jealous. Also in chapter 17 in the book of Acts, and verse 5. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. There is Paul was speaking there in Thessalonica, that the Jews were envious of the things that Paul was teaching, the reaction and the response that he was having, that they even brought in what they lewd sort of fellows. So they went and bound up the unseemly fellows around town to stir up a ruckus and cause an uproar in the city, to then to accuse Paul and Barnabas as being the ones that were setting the city on edge because of what they were teaching. Let's look in Galatians in chapter 5. In verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So let's don't do those things where we envy one another. And going along those lines is jealousy. If we go back to the book of Proverbs in chapter 6. And verse 34. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. We can't let that jealousy is one of those things that will take a hold of you and control you and make you do things that you regret and lead you down the wrong path. Let's say if you consider some things, some examples we're given in the book of Matthew in chapter 20. We are given the parable of the laborers in the vineyard. At the start of the day, the master of the vineyard went out and sought workers, and he agreed to pay them a day's wage to go work in his vineyard. As the day progressed, he needed more workers, so he went and sought others and agreed to pay them the same. And even until the last hour of the day, he went out and there were still more fellows there that, with nothing to do. And he sent them into the work into the vineyard, even though for an hour. But at the end of the day, he had agreed to pay them all the same wage. But those laborers were jealous that had been there and worked all day, that of those that were only worked an hour and got the same pay. But when it actually, they had agreed, they were getting paid what they agreed to work for. So there was no wrongdoing on the part of the master. It was his vineyard to do as he pleased, whether he wanted to pay the others a day wage for a working hour or for still only pay those guys that worked all day the same wage they agreed to. And also, if you consider the elder brother, the story of the prodigal son, when the younger brother had taken his inheritance and that he had sought from his father and went off into a foreign land and spent those that inheritance, that money and the wages he had on riotous living and squandered it all away. He found himself down in want, basically wanting to eat with the pigs, as low as he was. But when he comes home, his father rejoices. But that older brother was upset because his dad was rejoicing and having a party to celebrate the return of that brother that had strayed away. And, you know, he even said, well, you never so much as killed a kid that me and my friends can make merry, but here my brother that has went off and squandered his thing on wine, women, and song, to say, now you've killed a fatted calf and you're celebrating. Where was that for me? And then, makes him look almost like a wanting little sibling, don't it? It's kind of what comes to my mind is, you know, wanting because they're my brother making a party for my brother, but I never did get anything. In the book of Genesis, in around chapter 37, we consider the brothers of Joseph as well. They were jealous of Joseph and the treatment that he received at the hands of his father. Probably not the best way for a parent to treat all their children, to favor one over the other, whether you have two, 10, or 15, that a parent shouldn't favor one over the other. But yet, did any of those brothers really have want? They all had all they needed, did they not? But yet their jealousy caused them to do things that wasn't right. It caused them to initially wanted to kill their brother, but eventually sold him into slavery to one of the caravans that passed by. But then, you know, even to lie to the father in all those years that their father lived, that thought his son had died, had been killed by a wild animal. So sin, or their jealousy there led them to even deceive their father. Another one we can consider jealousy is King Saul. How jealous King Saul became of David. When David had, after David had killed Goliath and had got to leading part of the armies and the things that David had done, he heard people saying how Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And that made him burn with jealousy. And we see remember the road that it led Saul down on those years when he was jealous of David, that he sought to just let it consume him with jealousy, that he just wanted to kill David. That he sent down trying to track him and chase him to kill him because of that jealousy. And as I mentioned, in any of these examples, what real state were any of these people in? Were any of these people really in a bad state? You need to consider their situations, that they really had it better than they wanted to think they did. We'll look in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. Beginning of verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So that envy can help us, or cause us to err and create many sorrows in our life. And we also want to consider coveting. In the book of Exodus in chapter 20, we're given the Ten Commandments, where the Ten Commandments were given there in chapter 20, verse 17. It says, not to cover thy neighbor's wife or his house. We're not to covet his servants, his oxen, all those things. Luke chapter 12, let's look at that one in verse 15. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For as man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So our life doesn't consist of those things that we possess. And Ephesians chapter 5 verse 3 tells us, covetousness, let it not be named among you. So let not be named among us. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs in chapter 15. Verse 27, he that is greedy of gain troubleth his own house, but he that hateth gifts shall live. And Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10 tells us, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied. We think of a couple of examples of the book of Joshua in chapter 7. It tells the story of Achan. how Achan saw the silver and the fine linens and those things, and he took those things and hid them in his tent. And they were been instructed not to take of any of those things. All those things out of when they took Jericho would be were to go to the treasury of God. But Achan saw those things and coveted those things. And what did it cost him? It didn't just cost him, it cost his whole family. Because at that time, God had told him to purge the evil from out of the camp. So the whole family of Achan, his wife, his children, grandchildren, were all taken and stoned and burned. And as we talked about this morning in Matthew chapter 26, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Was Judas satisfied with that 30 pieces of silver? No, he wasn't. And he eventually hung himself. Also in the book of Kings in chapter 21, we're given the story of Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. And that also gets us involved with Ahab's evil wife Jezebel. That Jezebel went so far as to try to appease Ahab because he was almost pouting as a child that Naboth wouldn't trade him his vineyard or sell him his vineyard. So Jezebel sought to be deceitful and wrote a letter and basically had two false witnesses testify against Naboth, that Naboth was stoned and killed so that Ahab could take possession of the vineyard. And that eventually cost Ahab, and it was one of the many things that cost Jezebel too. It is wise to be content in what circumstances we find ourselves, not to wish for desire for more things than riches or possessions and what other things others have. As long as we have what we need and the essentials, what else should we have or want of? For doing otherwise will lead us through a life of strife, turmoil, and our own eventual destruction. Let's look at one more scripture in the book of Hebrews. In chapter 13. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for ye have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter what situation we are in, we have always one have one thing guaranteed us. As long as we are faithful, our Lord and Savior always will be with us. If you have heard the gospel and believe the gospel and have need to repent and to be baptized or anything else that we need to pray for you at this time, you come forward, we stand and sing the songs been selected.